This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
G'day, it's Dean from the team at Hide and Seek. Now, we know how much you love the show, but it's time for you to tell the boss and the rest of the world how much you love the program. To let the boss know how much you love Hide and Seek, head to joy.org.au and complete our annual listener survey. It'll only take a few minutes of your time and it'll do the world of good for us. To let the rest of the world know, if you're listening via iTunes or via Stitcher, be sure to give us a 5-star rating, and in doing that, it'll help others find out about the program. Thank you very much for your support over the last 7 years, and with your continued support, Hide and Seek will be here for many years to come.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
This is a trap to our resistance!
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome. Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek.
Good evening. Welcome to Hide and Seek, the show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. My name is Dean Beck. Sitting opposite me this evening is a man who is called Tim Little, mostly.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. We're also pleased to say that Matthew Wade is joining us yet again, part of the team now.
Yes, I am.
Welcome. I finally got to meet you.
I know. It's lovely to meet you, Tim.
It's with so many of us now contributing to Hide and Seek, it's bizarre that you still, until this day, have not worked together.
Yeah.
But now that Matthew is going to be contributing ongoing, it's great to have you here again.
Oh, shucks. Thanks,
overseeing Dean. Some of the stupidity that goes on as part of today's show. Now, interesting topic tonight, Tim.
Asexuality.
It's a sex show, Tim.
Wow.
I know. And tonight we're going to talk about...
anti-sex?
Not sex.
Wow. A lack of sex. But I think that that's important.
No, I don't know whether it's a lack of...
No, asexual people can still have sex.
A lack of desire.
Yeah.
Asexuality, it's a topic we've had many, many requests for, I might add.
Very underrepresented community.
I'm very intrigued by this topic.
Mm-hmm. We have a very special guest that will join us tonight to discuss asexuality because you wanted it, apparently, and we want to know actually a lot more about it. So you'll find out tonight on the show.
Fireball.
Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Matthew Wade, Tim Little, Dean Beck with you. And tonight's special guest is doing a show part of this year's Fringe Festival, a big hit at the Comedy Festival. Nick Spundy, welcome to Hide and Seek.
Hi, thanks, Dean.
You are going to be doing a show called Asexual Healing, which implies there is something to heal, or not.
It's an interesting question. I mean, I chose the title mostly because of the pun on the Marvin Gaye song. Yep. But
didn't think of that.
there is a kind of a healing journey in it.
Sure.
In that I discovered the word asexual only when I was really in my mid-30s. Mm-hmm. And so for most of my life up until then, sex had been something I didn't particularly enjoy, didn't particularly desire, didn't really understand.
How much did having a word change things?
It made all the difference.
Right.
Actually.
And how did you discover it? Like, how did you come across that in your mid?
I think it was first in an interview with Janine Garofalo. She's a stand-up comedian who's asexual and doesn't always reference it in her stand-up, but occasionally does. And I heard her mention it in an interview and it's like, oh, hang on. That's a thing you can be. That's me. And it's like, as soon as I knew the word, it's just like, okay, that's it. Like, I come up with sort of other words for it. Just, you know,
non-sexual or whatever.
Well, I identified as bi, but I just felt kind of lazy about it. So
okay.
my whole attitude always has been sort of whatever. So that just meant, as far as gender or anything goes, it's like, whatever. But then as far as sex itself was also just like, whatever to that.
So as part of your discovery journey, did you go and see a medical professional? Were you concerned about your hormone levels, stuff like that?
Oh, I actually did, which it seems silly looking at it in retrospect.
Yeah.
But I think because sexual function can have a bunch of medical things which affect it, I did sort of go through this process with a doctor, and I was diagnosed with generalized sexual desire disorder, and they did blood tests, and I did a bit of counseling.
Which means asexual, but it's got a medical name. Is that what you mean?
No, it would be different.
Okay.
Right.
That's more like if you lost your desire for sex for unspecified reasons.
You had it, but you lost it.
Yeah. Right. And when I was talking to the doctors about it, they're like, has something changed? I'm like, no.
You
it's
never
always
had
been
it.
Like this.
Yeah.
Like, does it distress you? Are you worried that you don't have it? I'm like, no, not at all. And so then it was like, oh, well, then it's not a medical thing then.
Right.
It's just you. And then after that, I was like, okay, I can call myself asexual with absolute certainty.
Growing up, were there, experiences on buses or were there experiences
on buses?
During maths class, or were there any signs that were not conscious but subconscious indications that you were a sexual being?
A sexual being?
Like arousal, is that kind of what
correct,
you're
correct, that's
towards?
What I'm
talking about.
Randomised arousal. Yeah,
I thought that's where you were going, I wasn't sure.
My body still does that occasionally.
Right, okay.
Although I did notice that my experience of it was quite different from that of other kids, that other people would talk about it and they would have... A lot of it's about the psychological feeling that you get with it, that if I get physically aroused, to me that's just kind of annoying. It's like,
As opposed to... Because I'm thinking there are some people that internalise it as being disgusting or horrible. Yeah. And so there's that sort of judgment, whether it be personalised, inward judgment. That wasn't the case? It was just, this is annoying for you?
Yeah, it's just kind of irritating. And it didn't... So I've never really had that feeling of being turned on. Like when people talk about being turned on, or people talk about being horny, that doesn't actually mean anything to me.
Wow. And so when you were younger and you were being surrounded by, you said kids were talking about it and you weren't experiencing it in the same way, did you actively try at any point to maybe watch porn or something like that just to see
No.
No,
actually, on your radar, no, or? Actually, I did once because I just had no interest in porn all my life. But sometime in my early 20s, I thought, everyone's interested in porn. I should try to make myself be interested in it.
Sure.
And I'd had a friend who had offloaded this big box of porn because he'd moved in with his girlfriend and he didn't want the porn around. Mm-hmm. So he dropped this off for me. So I'm like, okay, I'll take a look, see what's in it. And I opened one, tentatively opened one magazine, saw one image, and it was just like being stung in the eyes. I was like, no.
So there was a revolt.
Yeah, actually, to pornographic images. Yeah, I did.
Right.
So, as a teenager, did you ever masturbate, or you had no interest in that either?
Again, that's something I sort of taught myself to do later.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, a lot of people ask that about asexuals, if we masturbate or not. And I think Some of us do and some of us don't. I suppose I do, but to me it's kind of a physical process.
Right.
It's a bit like...
like a routine.
Yeah, it's a bit like going to the loo. It's just like the body needs to get this stuff out of it.
But it's the compulsion to do so, or the reason isn't for like some sort of sexual gratification.
Yeah, I don't really, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just is. Like that.
Yeah.
Did you... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, it's just saying, yeah, like as a teenager, it actually took me a very long time to work that out.
It must have presented its challenges in lots of ways. I mean, socially, and you must have questioned things. I mean, how did you navigate that space?
It did. I mean, like when it first happened, I actually remember being quite angry about it.
Right.
Because sex had been sort of presented as this thing that was going to, you know, this magical thing that was going to solve.
When you're a kid, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. And it's like when, you know, and no one's had sex yet, but it's like when you have sex, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to change your life. And then I had, it's just like, well, that was horrible. I hated that. And it's like, so what's the thing that's going to change my life? Like everyone, and like everyone else is like, as they're having sex, that's this big, you know, light bulb moment for them. And for me, it's just like, there's nothing. And I did go through a period like, yeah, really early on when I first started trying to have sex, where I just felt really kind of cheated in some ways.
Like you're missing out on an experience that other people were having. Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, it's like sort of being outside the window of something, like there's a party going on inside and you're just out on the street looking in at people having a party.
Was that still as a teenager or was that later on?
That would have been late teens. I went through that. Yeah.
So, out of curiosity, I mean, naturally, you weren't experiencing sexual desire for other people, even though other people were. But did you experience more of like any romantic feelings towards other people? Like, was there any kind of, you know, desire to date or to be in a relationship void of sex?
And are they separate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are separate orientations like that. We talk about sexual orientations, which you'd be familiar with. But then there's also the romantic orientation. So you could be biromantic or heteroromantic or homoromantic.
Yeah.
The same sort of way. I did have sort of romantic inclinations when I was younger. And I was in a very long relationship for a very long time.
So that was a fulfilling relationship that was void of sexual
content? No, because I didn't realise I was ace yet. So we still kept trying and it wasn't working, but we still kept trying. But it was kind of, in a way, it was more just like we were best friends. And I had this relationship to try to excuse like being best friends, if that makes sense.
And what was the response from your partners that you've had over the years to this?
Because after realising I was ace and coming out, I haven't dated at all. So when that long relationship ended, that was the last relationship I had. And when I came out and explained that to my ex-partner, it made a lot of sense, made a lot of things click into place for her. She's like, oh, okay, that's what was going on.
Wow.
But actually, she said it actually alleviated a lot of feelings that she'd had of guilt or insecurity.
Yeah, because I guess a partner in that space might think that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I've been really worried about telling them about it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, well, they feel like they've done something wrong, because that can often be a reaction when you say you're asexual. People like say it's something to do with your partners.
You used a word there that some of our listeners might not be familiar with, and that's ace.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us where that fits in.
Ace is just our snazzy nickname for asexual. It's just like you shorten asexual to ace. That sounds cool. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have that for the romantic orientations as well. Because I'm what's called aromantic. So I'm like arrow. So I'm like arrow ace.
That sounds like super. Right. So and I invite you to, in any moment of time throughout the conversation this evening, to correct us if we're wrong.
Okay.
I'm just saying that up front. Sexuality and the romantic inclination in the ace space is clearly divided.
Yes.
Right.
And you will get ace people who are actually very interested in romance and like intimacy, but they find the sexual part of that awkward.
So that throws up an interesting thing, which I have not heard of, but that might be that someone's orientation might be homosexual, but their relationship status might be straight. See, no one's talking about that. There might be a reason for it. But our guest tonight is Nick Spundy, asexual and aromantic.
Yes, that's correct.
Comedian and improv artist show coming up for this year's Fringe Festival. The idea that you could get through life without sex for, I think, most of us, challenges us. What do you do? You must have all this time on your hands.
Mean, literally.
Other than theatre shows, do you knit? What do you do?
I still don't seem to have enough time for things. But I actually think, like, what it's made time for is to have more friendships and deeper friendships.
Mm. Interesting.
That, especially since I've stopped trying to involve myself in romance or sexual relationships, my friendships have got a lot stronger. So I feel I have, more time and energy to give towards, like, other relationships like that, which are more meaningful to me.
And have you found friendships or meaningful relationships with other ace people as well? Like, since you discovered the word and the label, have you met other asexual people and bonded over that? Like, has it been nice to develop a community or no?
It is really nice to meet other ace people, although I don't meet them very often. There are ace social groups in... Mm-hmm. Melbourne, there's a meetup group. Yep. They all came to my show at Comedy Festival.
I imagine having a title like this would attract people who might have been in the same position as you.
I suppose because I have a lot of mature friendships with people of varying sexual orientations, I haven't felt that same need to go out and find ace people.
Mm.
I think if I'd realised when I was younger, I would have desperately sought out other ace people, because when people around that age, like late teens, early 20s, there's a big focus on sex. And so, like, if you're hanging out with especially like a group of hetero people and they're all like pushing heterosexuality on you, then it's just like I really wanted relief from that. But in the meantime, quite apart from that, I've sort of kind of curated my friends a bit better. And
does that mean that you've kind of shied away from the gay scene? I hate to use the word shy, but The gay scene is very sex driven.
Yeah.
So do you find that you have other kind of social outlets instead?
I do wish that there were more sort of queer social spaces that weren't based around hooking up. It's like most queer spaces are nightclubs and stuff.
That's
like
the
that.
Starting point, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's fun to go to the Peel or something like that and have a dance, but there's a lot of focus on people hooking up there.
A non-sex on premises venue.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like a queer cafe kind of thing, like the kind of place where I'd hang out normally, but
Have you faced any sort of, I guess, negative reactions to people finding out that you are not a sexual being, like either pre or post identifying yourself as asexual? Like, have there been people who have found out that, I guess, you don't really think that much about sex, even if it was when you were younger, and had negative reactions or just stigmatizing reactions?
When I was younger, people used to, like, they used to treat me like I was strange when I talked about sex, and I couldn't really defend myself because I didn't have the language yet. And so I would get... people would be quite judgmental about that. And most often they just assume that you're lying about stuff when you say,
wow. Possibly not want to have sex.
And that there can be the assumption that if you're not telling somebody something about sex, that then you're into something really kinky and you're just keeping it secret. So I think a lot of people actually thought I was like, I had some exciting sex life going on in the background that I just didn't want to share. It's totally not the case ever.
Asexuality is not the new kink. This is Hide and Seek. We're talking about not having sex on Joy 94.9 Sex Show.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, Dean Beck and Matt in the studio. We are joined by Nick Spundy, who is a producer and playwright of Asexual Healing, where we don't talk about sex.
Well, we don't have sex.
We don't have sex.
We talk about it. I mean, otherwise it's a show with no dialogue. And I don't think it's a mime act. It's not a mime act.
No, it is an hour of stand-up and storytelling about my sex life, but from the perspective of someone who
doesn't
enjoy it.
Doesn't enjoy it or doesn't have...
Have it anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. So I've got a few questions for you, Nick, on asexuality. Is it an abstinence pledge?
No, not at all. It's like, obviously, you can be asexual and still be sexually active, as I was for a while. But, it's different. Like, if you talk about someone being abstinent or celibate, that's indicates that they have the desire to have sex, but they resist it. Whereas asexuality is just a lack of interest in it or lack of pleasure from it.
So it's clearly not another word for celibacy. Is it some form of gender identity?
No, it's not. I get asked that a lot because I'm also genderqueer. And so when I say I'm asexual, people often go, oh, is that the same as like agender? You don't have
They automatically put the identity? Two... Yeah, but...
Sometimes they can, but it's very separate things. You get asexual people from all different gender orientations.
Of course.
So, and, you know, I certainly know people who are genderqueer or agender who are very interested in sex as well.
Is it a disorder?
No, and not at all.
Is it a choice?
A choice? Well, I think like any sexuality, you're born with it.
And oh, I wouldn't like say sexuality, my sexuality is a choice.
I mean, I think you're fluid, and we're very aware of that in the ace community in particular, that sexuality is fluid, because some people will be asexual for a while and then sort of find other orientations later. Or like, you know, most of us have tried being another orientation first before realising that we're ace.
Is it a hormonal imbalance?
No.
You had the tests?
I did. I have been tested a lot, actually.
Is it a fear of sex or a fear of relationships?
No, not at all. Right. And I think for me, in some sense, I felt a lot more confident in being able to say who I was because I had been in relationships.
Mm.
Like if I had, maybe if I'd been aware of the word asexual when I was younger, before I'd had the chance to be in a relationship, then there might have been some sort of question over it. But having done that and gone like, yeah, I've done various different forms of relationships and I know that none of them are really my thing, I can say like, yeah, that's closed off, that's a movie I've seen and don't need to see again, ribbon around that.
And my last question before I let these other boys have a go is, I was chatting to one of my colleagues here at Joy, an older woman, who said, but when you're older, you just don't want, you may just not want it to, because you've kind of been there, done that, you're focused on other things and you're older. And I'm talking, let's say, I don't know, let's pick a number out of the hat, 60 plus, right? But that's different again, isn't it? Or is it?
Yeah, there's a difference between having had sexual desire and then losing it for reasons, be that an age thing or other physical or psychological reasons. And versus like just not having had it. It's like even when I was sexually active, I was constantly aware of trying to make myself like it more, of trying to make myself desire it more, and was simply never there. And so when, once I realised it was there, it wasn't like anything went away. It was actually just a huge relief.
Mm.
And the idea that I would, you know, like never have sex again was just like, oh, that's actually good. I like that.
That was a relief.
Yeah.
Wow. And do asexual people flirt? Because I know body
language. Great question. Well, I love that.
It's odd because I've had friends tell me I'm really good at flirting and I'm like, I'm what? I was what now?
Right.
Like,
so
I don't
very
think,
unconscious.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't necessarily pick up on when someone's flirting or if I'm doing something which somebody else is reading as flirtation. Right. To me, it feels a lot like other people are just sort of seeing this whole separate world going on that I'm not really part of.
Some of us, more than others, see things purely through the lens of sex.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, people will, you know, they'll write sexual motivations on you even when you don't have them. Or they'll see sexual motivations in things like the relationship between fictional characters. And I'll be like, no, they're not white, Mulder and Scully. Why would they be together? They don't like, you know.
So that sexual tension or energy, you don't read or?
Not really. Mm. It's got to be pretty explicit for me to see it and pick up on it. Otherwise, it's just not something that I'm looking for or aware of. Like, I'm always surprised when people end up together in relationships. It's like, I actually forget.
So am I.
I forget that people do it at all, though. Like, it's just like, people do that still? People hook up and, yeah.
So you said that you've tried, you know, you've tried having sex before and things like that, but for an ace person who hasn't done that and they recognise that they're just not a sexual being, do they face the same kind of, I guess, rhetoric that, for instance, a gay person does by a straight person when they say, oh, you know, you just haven't met the right girl or boy first? Like, do ace people face that similar kind of thing where people say, you just haven't found the right person yet?
Yeah, I've had that, for sure. I've had people just tell me, like, you know, I haven't done it right, I haven't met the right person and stuff like that. And this is now in my late 30s, and people still be like, you know, holding out this kind of magical carrot thing. It's like, no, I've done enough now that I know that's not going to, it's not going to work. And if you, if you don't have the inclination, if you don't have the pleasure thing, then it's not going to happen by changing who's doing it with you.
And why do you think it is that asexuality specifically seems to just be off the radar? People don't really talk about it. It's so, there's such a lack of awareness around that as a sexual, lack of sexual identity.
In fact, there was a book titled The Invisible Sexuality or something.
Oh, there you go,
Well, because, I mean, for a lot of times you don't need to announce it. Because if you're not sexually active, there's lots of reasons for that. And so there's no necessary drive to it. Yeah. I mean, when I first realised I was ace, I didn't talk about it for a long time. Because people's reaction to it was to challenge it. As soon as I said I was ace, people would start throwing questions at me and trying to...
Did you ever get some people that were saying, oh, I'll fix that? You know, like try and, you know...
Well, the more I had people would try to get me into bed with them...
That's what I mean.
Going like, don't worry.
All is a good man.
Yes, what I was
don't
saying.
Quote me on that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but that'd be more like, come to bed with me. Don't worry, there won't be any sex. We'll just cuddle.
All right.
And they'd try to, like, they thought that... non-sexual intimacy would be the way to get me. It's just like, no, still not into it.
And did you get similar reactions from your family? Did you have to, say, come out again to them?
I haven't come out to all my family. My family live up in Queensland.
Right.
So I haven't, but, like, my dad's coming down to see the show, so it'll be the first he knows about it, actually.
Wow.
But, yeah, like, when I told my mum, she's just like, because mum hasn't dated since she and dad broke up anyway, so it just seemed completely normal to her.
Right.
So I think, most of the family have been like, accepting that that's, like, it explains why I haven't been dating for a long time. Because it's been years and years, and they have been aware that nothing's been happening or being talked about.
Do you think women are able to cope with the concept better than men are able to cope with the concept?
Oh, I think there's very different... Like, society perceives it very differently.
Yeah, right.
Like, I think there's actually a lot of negativity towards women who aren't sexually active. Like,
isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. Wow.
In a space where we're probably more judgmental of women who are sexually active.
Yeah,
as a society, I mean.
Mm. But there's lots of mean words like frigid and stuff like that which get applied to, especially women who don't have sex.
Interesting.
And it can be judged very heavily. I mean, I think there's a bit of that with men as well. We go through with that, but I feel it's stronger with women.
You are listening to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self, where tonight we're exploring non-sex and stuff. Tim Little, Matthew Wade, Dean Beck with you on Joy 94.9's Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hi, this is Dan Savage, and you're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck, Tim Little, and Matthew Wade with you, the show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. We're talking about asexuality with Nick Spundy, who is in a show called Asexual Healing, part of this year's Fringe Festival. The show kicks off on the 19th of September and has been performed as part of the comedy festival previously and got some pretty nice reviews. You're apparently hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious, according to the music.
What's funny about your show? That's a stupid question. Don't
answer
that.
But I did write it as a comedy show, not to be...
And you'll be revisiting some old stories of from back in your earlier days, is that right?
I decided when I was writing stand-up material, I found that any time sex or romance came up, it didn't make any sense if you didn't understand what asexuality was.
Yeah.
It's like, that's too much to put into a five-minute slot at an open mic night or something. So I sort of put all that material into a show, which is kind of where this came from.
It's an art in itself to create a one-man, woman-person narrative, to capture an audience in a dialogue, a monologue, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, monologue, ultimately.
Yes.
That's no mean effort.
Yeah, it's a very rewarding process. Like, I've also perform as an improviser. So, but that's very group based. That's very ensemble based.
Where you can feed off each other.
Yeah, and it's all about communicating with other people and building things together, like going into scenes without having any personal stake in what happens, but only doing it as a group.
You can't get more personal than this show, though.
It's extremely personal. And, yeah, it's... Like, writing it, there was a lot of... You know, I could really feel that pressure of, like, what? I've got to write stuff. I've got to hold an audience for a whole hour. But actually getting up on stage and doing it, it's very rewarding. Like, you get into a different interaction with the audience than I've got in any other sort of performance space.
In any other comical space? Like, is the reaction to this show different? I mean...
Yes, it is, actually. Right, okay. From just doing... from doing regular comedy, it's very different because I'm talking about stuff which is so personal.
Mm.
And you start seeing the way people react to different material, and I start, like, wondering in my head, it's like, oh, I think they're ace... because of the way that they're responding to the jokes, and they think, oh, I think they know someone who's ace.
Yeah, right.
And I've had people come up to me after the show and confirm some of my, like, onstage guesses.
By the
and
way they react.
Yeah. And that's actually really, really fascinating that you get into that kind of relationship with the audience. So
do you need to perform a lot of narrating to get the audience to, I guess, be in your head? Or is it something visually that they can appreciate?
It's... I have a few visual aids.
Or are you physical?
But not many. It's mostly storytelling. It's mostly a verbal show.
So how do you... But how do you identify something as funny from an audience perspective? Because your life is your life. Mm-hmm. How do you know that that little bit is what others are going to think is funny? I guess that's the question.
Well, in writing the show, I did a bit of... I had a dramaturge, April Seymour, who's really good. And we did a bit of sort of back and forth. Like, the first thing to write it, I actually got her to interview me.
Yeah, right.
And so part of what I was doing in that was both seeing the way I talked about it and the way somebody who's not asexual responds to it, but also the kind of questions that she would ask and the things that she was curious about. Because I have no idea what, you know, what it's like for... you know, somebody who's intersex, and allosexual is a technical word, but we don't use it very often.
What's the word?
Allosexual, as opposed to asexual.
Is that what we are?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very rarely used, and I don't particularly like it. How is it spelled? That's the word. A-double-L-O, then sexual.
Allosexual. Wow. Oh, wow. See, we're all learning. I'm loving this.
But, yeah, it's sort of like I have sort of no idea of that perspective, so I don't know what's different about being ace.
But that's where the laughs are, because most of the audience are going to be allosexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it was like that process was very important to me, to see how somebody else was, what they were curious about and what they were responding to. And that helped me, like, really write the show to be, this is a comedy show as opposed to just me venting on stage, which is I was trying to avoid. I didn't want to be one of those shows where you just, like, get up and vent.
Yeah.
What was it like when you were putting the material together, you know, revisiting some of those, you know, maybe horror stories from back in the day?
It was a huge memory trip. Because a lot of stuff you just forget about. But as soon as you start writing it, it opens
sliding
up
back,
these memories and you find all these things. And it is like a thing because at the time, obviously, I didn't know what my sexuality was. Mm. But you go through and be like, oh, that's right. and I'd remember things like, oh, yeah, that's right. When I was like 12 years old and swore a solemn vow I'd never have sex. It's like that's something I'd completely forgotten.
Mm-hmm. What sort of 12-year-old does that?
Yeah, an asexual 12-year-old.
Were there any painful memories that you found hard to turn into comedy?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I've tried to... Like, a lot of stuff that was more painful I don't put on stage.
Sure.
I am focused on making it funny. So... It was interesting one, because I mentioned my former partner, who I'd been with for a long time. And so there was a bit where I spoke about our relationship in it. And that was probably the hardest part. Right. She actually came to see the show. And that was a really magical night, to be actually doing a bit which I'd written about our relationship.
That's scary night.
And written sort of to her, and actually do it on stage. And that was... Yeah, it is scary, but it was actually one of the most magical stage experiences to have that. To actually, like, all this stuff couldn't really explain in the relationship or as part of a breakup and do it
I suppose part of a show. As well that would have helped her understand you better by seeing all that out there for display.
Yeah. I think it, well, a lot of my friends came and saw the show and learnt a lot about me.
I bet they did.
Yeah.
Nick Spundy, all the best to you and good luck for your show, Chookers.
Thank you.
Asexual Healing is part of this year's Melbourne Fringe Festival. It is on from the 19th to the 24th of September, and you can find out more at the festival website. It's on at Belleville, which is in Globe Alley. Thanks, Nick, for joining us on Hide and Seek.
Thanks, Dane.
The boys and I will be back right after this to say goodnight. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Matthew Mitchum here, enjoying a reverse 2.5 twist on Hide and Seek. God, these diving puns are just terrible.
We want to hear from you.
Joy 94.9 is proud to be the voice of the LGBTI communities, and we'd love to hear from you.
Our station is all about serving the community, and we want to know your thoughts, comments, and ideas to help shape our future.
It's time for our listener survey, so head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
God, what a dick.
I just caught my boyfriend balls deep.
Shut up. It went down wrong.
Hang on. This is far from over.
Dean Beck, Tim Little, Matthew Wade with you on Hide and Seek. We've got to wrap it up very quickly. But before we do, Joy's listener survey is on. We would love you to go along to joy.org.au, fill out the survey and tell our bosses just how fabulous Hide and Seek is. And while we're at it, check out David's podcast of the program. Thank you, David. And if you listen on iTunes or through Stitcher, then please give us a rating and that way other people can find it. Next week is...
Slut shaming.
Yeah.
Slut shaming. Yeah. One of my favourite topics.
Quite a contrast to tonight's show.
Yeah. How do you slut shame an asexual? more about that next week. Hey, boys, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
Don't forget it's time for you to tell our boss that you love Hide and Seek by filling out the Joy Listener Survey at joy.org.au and tell the world by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes or Stitcher. Thank you.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.